Punjabi Raji
Jai Raja Mahara Punjabi Raji
Jai Raja Mahara Punjabi Raji
Jai Raja Mahara
Gopi jana vallabha giri varadhari
Shama Gunaratha Pagiri Guru Tanki Jai Vrindavan Jagannatham Tham Ki Jai, Navadip Tham Ki Jai, Jagannathani Ki Jai, Gangamai Ki Jai, Jamanamai Ki Jai, Lucy Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, all glories to you, Sarva Bhutanis. All glories to you, Sarva Bhutanis. All glories to you, Sarva Bhutanis. Go Premanande. The marker is text 3.
Normally, Maharaj on Friday we do the Bhagavad Gita.
So, then why is this here?
That's a Bhagavad Gita.
I don't mind Bhagavatam, but give me the book you want me to speak from. I don't have a preference. What do you want me to do? Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Is this where you're reading from in Bhagavatam?
It's in Bhagavad Gita.
Anashrita karma phalam.
Anashrita karma phalam.
Karyam karma karoti yaha.
Karyam karma karoti yaha.
Sa sanyasi cha yogi cha.
Sa sanyasi cha yogi cha.
Na niragnir na chakriya.
Na niragnir na chakriya.
While I'm thinking of it, is there a Bangla Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavan Vacha,
Sri Bhagavan Vacha,
Anashrita Karma Palam,
Anashrita Karma Palam,
Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha,
Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha,
Sa Sanyasi Cha Yogi Cha,
Sa Sanyasi Cha Yogi Cha,
Na Niragnir Na Chakriya,
Na Niragnir Na Chakriya.
Anashrita karma phalam.
Anashrita karma phalam.
Karyam karma karoti yaha.
Karyam karma karoti yaha.
Sa sanyasi cha yogi cha.
Sa sanyasi cha yogi cha.
Na niragnir na chakriya.
Na niragnir na chakriya.
6-1.
Anashrita karma phalam.
Karyam karma karoti yaha.
Sa sanyasi cha yogi cha.
Na niragnir na chakriya.
Shri Bhagavan vacha. Anashrita karma phalam. Karyam karma karoti yaha.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha.
Anashrita Karma Phalam.
Anashrita Karma Phalam.
Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha.
Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha.
Sanyasi Cha Yogi Cha.
Sanyasi Cha Yogi Cha.
Na Niragnir Na Chakriya.
Na Niragnir Na Chakriya.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha.
Anashrita Karma Phalam.
Anashrita Karma Phalam.
Karyam karma karoti yaha.
Sanyasi cha yogi cha.
Sanyasi cha yogi cha.
Na nirgir na chakriya.
Na nirgir
క్రియః.
శ్రీభగవాచ
If you go slow and get it right, get it perfect. That's right. Okay, ladies.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha Anashita Karma Palam Karyam Karoti Yaha Sanyasi Cha Yogi Cha
taking shelter,
karma palam
of the results of work,
karyam
obligatory, karma work, karoti performs, yaha
one who,
saha
he,
sannyasi
in the renounced order,
cha
also.
Yogi, mystic,
cha,
also.
Not.
Nihi, without. Agnihi, fire.
Na,
nor.
Cha,
also. Akriyaha,
without duty.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work, and who works as he is obligated, is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no duty. Purport. In this chapter, the Lord explains that the process of the Eightfold Yoga System is a means to control the mind and the senses. However, this is very difficult for people in general to perform, especially in the age of Kali. Although the Eightfold Yoga System is recommended in this chapter, the Lord emphasizes that the process of Karma Yoga, or acting in Krishna consciousness, is better. Everyone acts in this world to maintain his family and their paraphernalia, but no one is working without some self-interest, some personal gratification, be it concentrated or extended. The criterion of perfection is to act in Krishna consciousness and not with a view to enjoying the fruits of work. To act in Krishna consciousness is the duty of every living entity, because all are constitutionally parts and parcels of the Supreme. The parts of the body work for the satisfaction of the whole body. Limbs of the body do not act for self-satisfaction, but for the satisfaction of the complete whole. Similarly, the living entity who acts for satisfaction of the supreme whole and not for personal satisfaction is the perfect sannyasi, the perfect yogi.
Om Mujanati Mirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Shri Chaitanya Manogastam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamanam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sharvajatam Shahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sakimam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopitarubhyascha Kapasintho Vyayeva Cha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Anashrita Karma Phalam Kare Karma Karodhiyah Sa Sanyasi Jiyogi Cha Nanirag Nirvachakriya. Anashrita Karma Phalam, not taking shelter of work. People take shelter of their work. They think that I'm protected because of my work, I'm secure because of my work, I'm happy because of my work, and the results that I get from the work. Karma phalam. Karma phalam means what I'm getting from my work. I'm getting security, I'm getting things, I'm getting sense of enjoyment. And so that's where I go for my shelter, for my sustenance. And my life depends on sense gratification. Without sense gratification, there's no use to living. That's where everything is. But the person advanced in Krishna consciousness, anashrita karma phala, he takes shelter. Everyone requires shelter. We're shelter needy beings. Just as their plants, creepers, they require to hold on to something. They can't just grow like a bush or a tree. They have to have a trellis or some string, something they can hang on to. The living entities are like that. They can't be independent. We can't be independently happy. Krishna can be independently happy. He expands his pleasure energy and he has everything he needs. We have to depend on others. But we're taking shelter of the material energy. Prakritim Mohinim Shritaha. 16th chapter. Asurim, Rakshasim, Asurim, Chayabra, Prakritim, Mohinim, Shrutaha. The demons take shelter of the bewildering, illusory material energy. Kama for the Mayamcha for the Chaitukha. That's good. Okay, so where is it? Asrim, Rakshasim, Asrim, Jaiva. You can find it.
There is
13.2. Okay, that's why we don't find it. 13.2? No.
9.12.
Asrim, Rakshasim, Asrim, Jaiva. Moga Kasha, Moga Karma, Moga Gyan, Jaiva. Right. Rakshasim Asriyam Chayava Prakritim Vanyam Shukha. Of course, next to the verse that I had in mind. They're thinking that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an ordinary human being. They're bewildered in all of their efforts. All their hopes are frustrated. All their work is frustrated. All their knowledge is frustrated. Because they're turning away from Krishna. Vijayatasa. And they're turning toward the material energy for all their needs. And the material energy is saying, yes, here, take it and let me give you. Take it and let me give you. It's the way the ass chases after the female ass for sex and gets kicked in the face. That's how they're approaching the material energy and getting kicked. Mahatmanas tumam parta daivin prakritam ashrita. But the broad-minded persons take shelter of Daivi Prakriti, the Lord's mercy, the Lord's internal energy. They always engage in devotional service with Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna and Krishna's merciful energy. So, therefore, because they're taking shelter of Krishna, they don't need to take shelter of karma phala. The materialists, when they get some profit, they're happy, and when they're in loss, they're in lamentation. But the devotee takes shelter of Krishna, and therefore he's equal in loss or gain, happiness or distress. Because his shelter is always there, Krishna. He can always turn to Krishna and have no difficult. I have no problem because I can always just chant your glories and merge in emotionlessness. So, anashrita karma param. Karyam karma param. Karya means that which one has to do. One's duty. Karya. That which one should do. That which one ought to do. Karya. In the modern way of civilization, what you should do is what you want to do. What feels good, what you want to do, what feels right to you, what's pleasing to you, what's going to get you what you want. That's what you do. And whatever you have to do to get it, well, that's a negotiation. If it's really, really terrible, then you probably are not going to do it because it looks bad, and then that means you lose something else that you want. Your name and reputation matter to you, so you're not going to do something that horrible. But medium horrible is okay, because your reputation will only suffer a little, and look what you'll get. Or if you can do it and blame it on someone else, then that's perfect. Do anything as long as someone else can take the blame. Somehow or other, by hook or by crook, because this is the goal of life. Kamo papoga padama etava dinishchita. That the goal of life is kama upapoga, to enjoy sense gratification. That's the highest there is. This is the modern idea. Life is meant for enjoyment, and as much as you can get, and whatever seems like a reasonable way to get it, or even unreasonable, but at least what seems like, that's the difference between a highly principled person and an unprincipled person. Unprincipled person will do anything for sense gratification, and a principled person will do what's reasonable for sense gratification, what's in line with community standards, what doesn't seem too horrible. But they agree that the goal is sense gratification. And that determines what I do and what I don't do. If it's no good for my sense gratification, if it's contrary to my sense gratification, why should I do it? And if it's favorable, anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya varjana. If it's favorable for sense gratification, I accept it. If it's unfavorable, I reject it. This is the criteria. But in the Vedic literature, karya, I have my duty to perform. Life is not meant for doing what I want to do. It's meant for doing what I'm obliged to do, what it's my duty to do. Completely different concept, now rapidly going out of style. But in all affairs, karya means what I'm obliged to do. If I owe you money, I'm obliged to pay it. It's not that because I can stick it on you and run, then I can do that. For sense gratification, sure, I'll stick it on you, and anyway, I'm leaving Bahrain, I'm moving to India, and you'll never find me. But an honorable person is my duty. Prabhupada told about one person, maybe it was C.R. Das. Could have been C.R. Das, a great barrister at the time of the independence struggle. He became a very big man. But his first business was that his father had died in debt. And so his first business was that he paid off all the creditors. Maybe it was C.R. Das, maybe it was someone else, but I think so. Chittaranjan Das. But his father died in debt. So he didn't think, well, that was his business and this is my business. That was his life and I've got my life. He thought, I'm his son. It's my duty. But these creditors have to be satisfied. Then I can make money. I can do what I like. But it's my duty to pay off you. And he did it. What to speak of, and this is a small example, then you get the great examples, the Lord Ramchandra who went to the forest because it was his father's order. And cheerfully also. My mother has asked for some boon and my father has given it. Now it's just my duty to go. That's all right. Without complaining. Planning is not my duty. Going is my duty. Who was that? With the pigeon? Which king was that?
Shibi.
Maharaj Shibi. A pigeon came to him looking for protection from an eagle. You're the king. Please protect me. Yes, I'll protect you. Then the eagle complained. But you're the king. What about my food? How can you favor him over me? King said, yes, you take from my body an equal amount of flesh, equal to the weight of the pigeon. They put the pigeon on the scale. The pigeon kept getting heavier and heavier. Finally, the king put his whole body on the scale. You take my life. But it's my duty to, because I've given my word, now it's my duty. I have to protect this pigeon, even by giving my life. It's my duty. Then the pigeon, the eagle showed they were demigods and everything was settled up. He was ready to do it. So many examples. As a matter of duty, the kings used to go to the forest. trying to die, it's my duty to hand over the king. He didn't think, well, I can still squeeze out a week's more. My duty, is that, what is my duty? He knew, my duty is to give over the kingdom. My duty is to hand it over to my successor. My duty is to leave home. Then he went to the Ganga, but there he inquired, now what's my duty? I have 7 days left. What's actually my duty? He didn't ask what's going to be pleasing to my senses. How can I make my reputation permanent? What's my duty? That's all. What's the duty of everyone? And especially, what's the duty of a person who's on the verge of death? That means everyone, because everyone's on the verge of death. We don't know how much time we have. But he knew, at least I have 7 days, then death will come. So what's my duty? Should I hear about Krishna? Then the Sukadeva Goswami approved. Yes, this is very nice. This is the real duty, one who wants to be free from fear at the time of death. You hear and chant, and you think about, remember Krishna. Trotavyas, Kirtitavyas, Cha, Smartavyas, Chetitavya. One who wants to be free from fear at the time of death, and who doesn't? To hear and chant and remember Krishna. Tokarya, our real duty is to serve Krishna. Every other duty is subordinate. We have family duties, we have community duties, we have social duties. We say, well, I'd like to go, but I have a wedding, and it's my duty to go. My cousin's such and such is getting married, so I have a duty. I don't really want to go, but I have to go. Social duties, family duties, occupational duties, and now I've got to work till such and such time. But those duties are subordinate duties. I may perform all of my duties perfectly, but if I miss this duty, the duty to serve Krishna, then the whole thing is useless. Dharmasvanustita Prosam Destruction Katasuya. No padi adidivatim shonevi. I perform all of my duties very nicely, but I don't develop an attraction to Harikata, Krishna Kata. Then Shramevake, I've wasted my life. I've performed all of my duties perfectly and I've wasted my life. Atapum Virvija Shreshta Varashuna Padasha Pranustitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhi Aitoshana. Our real duty is to satisfy Krishna. That's the real duty. Other duties are meant to contribute to that or bring us to that point. But if we don't come to that point, then it's all useless. And if we come to that point, then everything is successful. Anashrita karma palam karya karma kuroti. The sannyasis sometimes artificially think that they have become liberated from all material duties, and therefore they cease to perform agnihotra yagyas, fire sacrifices. But actually they are self-interested, because their goal is to become one with the impersonal Brahma. Such a desire is greater than any material desire, but it is not without self-interest. Similarly, the mystic yogi who practices the yoga system with half-open eyes, ceasing all material activities, desires some satisfaction for his personal self. But a person acting in Krishna consciousness works for the satisfaction of the whole without self-interest. A Krishna-conscious person has no desire for self-satisfaction. his criterion of success is the satisfaction of Krishna. And thus he is the perfect sannyasi, or perfect yogi. Your Chaitana, the highest perfectional symbol of renunciation, prays in this way. Tatananna jananna sundarim kavitam vajagati shakamye mama janmani janmani shale avatat bhaktir vahaitaki paye. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor to enjoy beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. What I want only is the causeless mercy of your devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Sa sannyasi jiyo vicha. This is sannyas, not simply to make a show of renouncing material things. Prabhupada said, what do you have to renounce anyway? Everything belongs to Krishna. So what can you renounce? Suppose I say, Prabhupada gave the example, I renounce the Bank of America. Now when was it yours? So renunciation doesn't mean simply giving things up. Giving things up, that's all right. Anashrita karma phala. Not depending on things, but acting as a matter of duty for the satisfaction of Krishna. Sa sannyasi. That's explained by Srila Rupa Goswami. Anasaktasya vishayanam yataraham upayogitam. Anasaktasya vishayanam. Unattached to sense gratification. Vishaya means eating, sleeping, and independent sense gratification. Anasaktasya. One who is detached from sense gratification. Yatarham upayantrita. And simply uses everything as it's meant to be used in Krishna's service. Nirbandha Krishna sampanta. Because he sees that everything has a relationship to Krishna, so everything should be used for Krishna. Prabhupada gave the example that materialist, he sees a nice flower, he thinks, I could pick this flower and give it to my girlfriend. But the devotee doesn't, and the Mayavadi sees this flower and he thinks, this is all illusion. This is false beauty. But the devotee takes the flower and offers it to Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example that one person sees a wallet lost somewhere, picks it up, it's wow. Profit. But he's a thief. Another person picks up the wallet and sees that it's money and throws it away. He thinks this is not mine. He's a fool. And the intelligent person sees, here's a wallet. Whose wallet is it? Is this whose wallet? He tries to find the owner. But he's intelligent. Acting properly. The wallet should not be used for my own enjoyment, nor just thrown in the rubbish bin as useless. It should be returned to the owner. Even Kesha Bharati Maharaj, one time in India, someone stole everything. His passport, his money, his papers, his whole wallet, everything. And he was, so much trouble to get a new passport, to keep all of that. But the thief was very good. After a few days, he sent him back the wallet with the passport, everything but the money. At least he had that consideration. The passport is of no use to me. Let it be returned to the proper owner. At least he was half honest. But a devotee is fully honest. Everything belongs to Krishna. Not that 50% is mine, 50% is Krishna's. Everything is meant for the service of Krishna. Sa-sanyasi, he's actually a sannyasi. Cha-yogi-cha, he's actually a yogi. not Niragnirna Kshatriya, not the person who simply puts out the fire of family life in former days in the householders' homes. They would do a Agnihotra Yajna, they'd keep the fire going and so on. So when you put out the fire, that means finished. Now all my family duties are left behind. Well, that's very good to accept the renounced order of life. But without having the purpose of serving Krishna, that also is useless. That also is useless. Sannyas, without Krishna consciousness, dukkhamaptam yoga, it's simply a source of misery. Because there's no, the highest purpose is missed. It's another cheating. I'll take sannyas so that I'll get fame, I'll get honor, even so that I'll get beautiful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't want any beautiful women. There's some sannyasis, they know that there's a class of woman who thinks that it's very auspicious to have a child by a sannyasi. So they'll go to Rishikesh, they'll go to Haridwar, and they'll look for some sannyasi by which to have a child. And then there's some men who know about this, so they take sannyas and go off to Rishikesh and Haridwar. The cheaters are the cheated. So that's not real sannyas. Simply as a strategy for sense gratification. If I take sannyas, I'll eat better. If I take sannyas, I'll get more money. I can sit by the side of the road and people, now I'm working and getting money. Not very much, but if I become a sannyasi, then I can go house to house and people will give me money and I won't have to work. And I can bring something back to my wife also. Not that kind of sannyas. Simply to get prestige, to get many followers, to get money, to get sex, or even to get liberation. That's another selfish desire. I'll merge with God, I'll become one with God, I'll become equal to God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I just want to serve. That's my duty. And I'm your eternal servant. You are the eternal Lord. So even birth after birth, I want to serve you. Okay. Any questions? I can add a story, by the way, that one time we were at an airport, maybe Kennedy Airport in New York City, and Srila Prabhupada was leaving to go someplace. And there was, devotees had arranged for a VIP room for Srila Prabhupada. And as many devotees as possible crammed into that room to be with him before he left. And there was some discussion going on, some things going on. And then it was in the evening, not the evening flight. And Gopal Krishna Marsh came. At that time he was in his Purvashra. He was in householder life. So he was coming from work. He used to be a business executive for Colgate Palmolive Company. So he came directly from work to see Prabhupada off at the airport. He offered obeisances. He said, Swamiji, or no, I guess it was later. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm sorry I came in my karmi clothes. Prabhupada said, not karmi, not karmi, he said, karma yogi. And he quoted this verse, anashrita karma phalam. Because you're dedicating your life for Krishna. So it's not karmi. Karma yogi. Anashrita karma phalam, karyam karma. Sasanyasi chiri. Then later, formally, he took sannyas also. But the spirit was there from the beginning to serve Krishna. Not to simply to enjoy, make money and enjoy, but to serve. Alright, some questions?
yesterday's question.
Yes, one more.
With which?
Yesterday we discussed about that karma, and they told in association and people come. Then they enter the spiritual path. It's not karma which determines one's spiritual realization. But then Maharaj, why is the risk that people after entering the spiritual path, they may still fall down, but karma doesn't play any role in that? Which factor plays
a role? No, karma plays a role in that. Someone begins the path of devotional service, but because of past karma, there's some material attraction. They used to smoke, and a friend comes by and says, "Here, have a cigarette." He was a chain smoker. The guy says, "Well, he has been a rough day." Or someone comes with some other attraction, and he becomes diverted. Oh, it's because of karma. It's because of past activities. Karma simply means past activities. Because of karma, we're still in this material world. Devotional service is that process by which we get free from karma. But the karma is there. As we advance in devotional service, the karma becomes disconnected, unplugged. But sometimes one becomes attractive and the past karma kicks in and throws a punch. So that's karma.
So it plays no role for advancement, but it can pull down a person.
Yeah, that one doesn't advance simply by pious activities. Or let's say this. Yes, but simply by pious activities, one can't get Krishna consciousness. One can get a favorable environment can be there. Suppose you're born in a pious family, and you're given good education, and good moral principles, good religious education, spiritual kind of association. You're taught to do the right thing and not to do the wrong thing, live a clean life and avoid bad habits. So that's all conducive for devotional service. In devotional service also, one has to lead a clean life, one has to avoid unwanted things. So that's very good. One has to be charitable, one has to be austere. So if one is trained in those things, then that's very good for Krishna consciousness. But simply being trained in those things doesn't make one Krishna conscious. One will remain austere, one will remain a good person, one will remain charitable, but one doesn't become a devotee of the Lord unless one gets the association of devotees. But when you get the association, then the past background becomes very favorable. This person has a nice, pious background, so it's all favorable for its spiritual advancement. And someone else, he was a drug addict, he was a woman hunter, he was, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Meat eater, drunkard, woman hunter, sense gratifier. So he can also become Krishna conscious by the association. Shudyanti. Even a hunter became a devotee by the influence of Narada. But they have to overcome their past background. Their past background is not helping them. For the pious person, even his past background is going in the same direction. And for the person whose background is impious, it's working against him. By the power of devotional service, he can overcome his past activities. Even the pious person, he has to overcome the tendency to be attached to pious life. Yudhisthira Maharaj, Krishna said, "Why?" He said, "I've never told a lie." He was attached to his pious principles. He had to overcome that to attain the higher position. And for Krishna, a lie also. That's a higher morality than simply being always truthful. Whatever Krishna is the absolute truth. Following Krishna's order
is the supreme manifestation of truthfulness. So sometimes even our moral principles or our pious upbringing become a source of, become an obstacle. The mode of goodness, after all, is one of the three modes of material nature. It's not spiritual. The one who's attached even to the mode of goodness, he's not yet attained to the transcendental platform. Sometimes one becomes more attached to all the pious traditions, the family, good things he's learned from his family, and this and that. And he can't become Krishna conscious. Because he's thinking, well, Krishna conscious is not on with. I was just reading, what was it? I think I was reading about the life of Srila B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, who was Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, who came from a high Brahmin family, a Saraswara Brahmin family. And he came to Gaudiya Math, and he saw that there were things that were inconsistent with his Brahminical upbringing. Some devotees, they served prasadam, and then without cleaning that place, they sat someone else down to take prasadam. So he was thinking, you know, what is this? This is not to the Brahminical standard. But then he recognized that there was something higher there. Not that that was the right thing to do, but he saw that, no, here still I'm getting something which is more valuable. Even though it may not be in line. His family was aghast. You're associating with those people. We're coming from this family and you're associating with them? With Vaishnava, with Kodi, with the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, you're hanging out with them? Yes. Because he saw there was something of higher value. So sometimes even the high-class training or very good values are also have to... What is that? What is that?
The class of the
Well, Shubha Shubha Parityagi, Krishna says. Several places. Shubha Shubha Parityagi. I think that Shubha Shubha Pratidushkrite. Also there. Yeah, that's Shubha Shubha Parityagi. That's good. That's the quality of the devotee. But elsewhere.
928.
Yeah, that's another one. It's also not the one I was thinking of. Shubha Shubha Palayareva Mokshase Karma Bandhanai Sanyasa Yogi Yuktatma Vivmukto Mahavapaisasi. Yes. Many places, as I mentioned, in many places in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that one has to be go beyond both pious and impious life. Yeah, that's the only one I had in mind, but that's good enough. One has to go beyond both what is shubha and ashubha materially. What is auspicious and inauspicious. And come to the transcendental platform. Krishna, Arjuna, he was going to be pious and spare his family members, his teacher, his grandfather, his cousin brothers. He decided to go for the path of piety. Let me renounce this kingdom. Why should I wish to enjoy at the expense of their lives? Krishna said, I want That's your sense gratification. How will we enjoy after we've killed our friends and relatives? How will we enjoy? Kimbo Garajin Tainaba. Krishna says, the hell with your enjoyment. It's your duty to life. Doesn't matter if auspicious or inauspicious. It's your duty. So sometimes we become attached to auspicious material activities. That becomes an obstacle. It's so just like this worship of the demigods. That's pious activity, actually, compared to worshiping rock stars or, you know, the other things that people do. To be worshiping Durga, to be worshiping Shiva, is pious activity. Because we're acknowledging a higher authority, we're sacrificing for a higher purpose. It's pious activity. But one has to give up that pious activity for the higher purpose of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
This, on the same subject of Dharma, when we read sometimes in the Bhagavad Gita, said, like if you recite this, then recite this prayer, then 21 generations down the line will be liberated. So is the Dharma stops of those 21 generations of Dharma? Mm-hmm. We read some Bhagavad Gita. If you recite this loudly, the 21 generations...
The result may be there. It's not guaranteed. But it's certainly possible. And examples are there of devotees. The Prabhupada mentions that after devotion. Because it's full of, if you do this, you'll attain this. If you do this, you'll attain that. It's quite possible. But it's not like a shoe-in. That, alright, I did this, now I expect that result. There was a friend... one of my devotee friends told me a story. There was some man, his wife dragged him to the church. He was a sinful guy, totally sinful. But his wife dragged him to the church. And when he was in the church, the preacher, you know, at the end, he said, now I'm going to pass around the basket and we expect everyone to pitch something in. Because if you pitch something in, you can go to heaven. Otherwise, you go to hell. So the guy threw $20 into the basket. And then later he died. And he went to the gates of heaven. And I guess it's St. Peter there who's got the book. And let's see, looks at it and said, you're like, you can't get in here. I've looked at your record. You're a totally sinful guy. No way can you go to heaven. And the man said, well, your representative made a promise that if I gave a contribution, I could go to heaven. And you have to honor his word. He's your man. So I gave my $20. I expect your promise to be honored. And St. Peter said, oh, wait. Said, who's your boss? Go ask your boss. So St. Peter went to God and he said, God, there's this man who's totally sinful, he's done everything, but he says he gave $20 and he was told that he could go to heaven. So God very slowly reached in his pocket, pulled out a $20 bill, said, give him back his $20 and tell him to go to hell. So we shouldn't think that I can do anything and everything and I'll chant this stotra and it's guaranteed I'll gain liberation and this and that. But it's just to encourage us in these spiritual activities.
We all are working for survival, obviously. But then somebody earns less, somebody earns more. But then the fruits of work, as Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion, that he divides into 50%, 25%, 25%. We are not giving 50% to the Lord. So how do we exactly read? Or is it an individual decision to do whatever you like?
No, it's not whatever we like. Prabhupada, in many, practically in every one of his books, he says we should give 50%. Because householder life involves sense gratification. And how will that life be purified? It's purified by charity. It's purified by charity. My sense gratification, first of all, gets cut down because my budget gets cut. And I'm giving for the service of Krishna, so I have to think, well, actually, I'm really working for Krishna. One becomes purified by charity. So Prabhupada, practically in every book, he says 50%, which is quite a chunk. Revolutionizes our life. So it's very easy to say, well, that's not possible, and I can't give 50%, but I can spend for new widescreen television, I can spend for so many things. But giving 50% is just not practical in this age. So then I give a lot less, but I also have enough for my unnecessary necessities. That's not very good. But one devotee wrote to Srila Prabhupada and said that, you know, I can't give 50%. It's, you know, more. Prabhupada said, give what you can. So it's also not impractical. You're meant to starve, and your wife can wear rags, and you can wear the leftover rags from your wife. And, you know, this is Krishna consciousness. You have to live. But we should strive to give 50%. And if we can't give 50%, then probably give what you can. The idea is there. It means not luxurious life. Whether in any ashram, ashram means bare necessities. Not increasing the unnecessary things. What happiness will I actually get from that? Rather, by serving Krishna, I'll get more happiness. So, the spiritual householders, they live with us. And those who are more materialistically inclined, they think that by having more, I'll have more happiness. And it doesn't actually happen. Actually, they get less happiness. They have to work harder for their material, to meet their material standard. Even I saw some statistic, U.S. Department of Labor or something, maybe 20 years ago or so, if a man was working and his wife was working, it's because the man was poor. Now, if a man is working and his wife is working, it's because they need to maintain their lifestyle. Big difference. Big difference. So, the Krishna conscious person is not interested in a high lifestyle. Living with the actual necessities, jiva sukhaktu jasa, nartha nischasa krahmi. In that way, whatever surplus is there, even not surplus, but at least whatever surplus is there, he's cutting and thinking, how can I give to Krishna? And that's his pleasure. The more I can give to Krishna, the more I'm happy. He's not thinking, the more I can engage my wife, what else can I get my wife to that will give me happiness? He's thinking, how can I engage my wife in Krishna's service? How can I engage my children in Krishna's service? That's his happiness. Not what can I get them to do for me. And also, not how can I give them what they want. Not they're here for my sense gratification. Also, I'm not there for their sense gratification. Life is not meant for sense gratification. So how can the whole family be engaged in Krishna's service? Then life becomes spiritual.
All these verses would say that one should be sannyasi, renouncing the fruits of the activities. If you're not elevated to that level, we should aspire to come to that level. But if you're not on that level, should we pretend to be on that level?
No, that's mityachara's sarucchate. What is that? chapter. Indriyartan vimutatma nityachara sutchite. You can look in the next. Indriyartan vimutatma nityachara sutchite. 3-6. Karmendriyani samyamya yaaste manasa smaran. One who's externally controlling the senses, but he's remaining, he's keeping his mind thinking of sense gratification. Indriyartan, his goal is to satisfy his senses. Vimutatma, he's a bewildered fool. Mithyachara sucha, he's pretending. Yastrendriyani manasa niyamya gavitarjana. Karmendriyai karma yoga masakta sadhishishu. Person who controls his senses by his mind and undertakes the process of karma yoga, karmendriyai karma yoga, using his senses in the service of the Lord, asakta, without attachment, sadhishishute, he's better. No use making a show. Prabhupada said show bottle spiritualists. That's not what's wanted. Genuine.
But some amount of show is required to advance with the proper motivation, or we should be what level we are in. And,
show? Why show?
It's like what they say, if you're not humble, act humble, then you would say.
Not so that you'll impress others as being humble. Not that if you're not humble, make a show of being humble so that others will think that you're humble.
So the motivation should be proper.
Yeah, if you're not humble, try to be humble.
Try.
Not try to cover for yourself.
In practical sense, as far as sense gratification is concerned, working for money is concerned, can we artificially give up knowing fully well we have the knowledge? Because we're not able to apply it in day-to-day life, should we artificially renounce, though the taste for that sex object still remains?
Artificially renounce money?
Saying, no, I'm a devotee. It's actually peer pressure, you know. Most of the time it's peer pressure which makes people behave contrary to what they actually want to do.
Well, contrary to what we want is sometimes good. I want so many things. So if by association I'm persuaded that I really shouldn't do what I want, that may be good. Because our goal is not what I want to do, it's what I should do. You know, I want to go to the movie. I want to do so many, I want to waste my time in so many ways. So if two or three friends gang up at me and say, you know, what do you want to go to the movie for? That's just a waste of your time and money. It goes against what I want to do, but it's good. That's called good association. So that's there.
If I may explain, please correct me if I'm wrong. I always think if you are in a particular level, we should act on the level.
Yeah, and just take some other example. Someone's a brahmachari, but he's not really a brahmachari. But all of his friends are saying, you know, you should stay brahmachari, and you know, you're not a brahmachari, you're nowhere. And he's pretending to be a brahmachari, but he's not really a brahmachari. That's not wanted. That's not wanted. Better to be an honest householder.
Yes.
That's all right. So we should be honest with ourselves and see. But having accepted householder life, now we should be honest householders.
Yes, honest householder.
Not simply sense gratifiers in the name of householder life. So, you know, there are different levels or different stages. There's the student life, there's household life, there's retired life, there's renounced life. So we may not artificially stay in the student life or prematurely adopt renounced life. But whatever station we're in, we should live in that station in such a way that we actually advance in detachment and knowledge and devotional service. Something else.
This pretense is also Chamahevi Kevalam, right?
Well, pretending doesn't do any, is useless, because
so
pretending is
devotional service, but it is not devotional service.
Yeah, pretending is not. Of course, a little pretending sometimes.
Little austerity is required, yes.
You know, from a psychological point of view, if I pretend I can do it, then at the end of the day I can actually do it. So, sometimes we find it the other way, that not pretending becomes an excuse for not doing anything.
That is complacency. So, see, whatever level we are in, we should strive to go to one level higher.
Yeah, well, a little higher.
Not jump to
not
10 levels higher.
Right.
That is gambling, yes.
Yeah. Sometimes we find it that way, that the person, you know, well, what will repression accomplish? And I don't want to be a false renouncer, and, you know, so I'm going to get myself a new BMW with, you know, because what... So he's living a high-rolling life, and he's got his verses lined up.
Yes.
So that's not wanted. That's not wanted. We shouldn't use these things as an excuse for really living a life of sense gratification. It's a concession. So the concession we should use. That all right, there's some concession for sense gratification. Take my concession and go on with my real business. You know, like if I'm big, then I have to eat more. But then, all right, then so let me eat and let me serve. And not pretend that I can eat like the skinny guy.
Yes.
I'm bigger, so I need more food, that's all. But the end of the day is that I'll serve. Skinny guy will serve because he doesn't need to eat much, and the big guy will serve because he can eat a lot and do a lot. Either way, the goal is service. That's the thing. Not that, well, you know, everyone has to eat for his size, so I eat like a big man, then I sleep like a big man. And that's it, no service. Anything else? Gajendra is one elephant out of millions. So one elephant got some special blessing from Krishna to be enlightened about his position. But it doesn't mean that now all the elephants are an enlightened species of life. You know, one hunter got the inspiration from Narad Muni to become a devotee. It doesn't mean all hunters. Now hunter is a pious profession. One deer got the opportunity to remember, in my past life I was King Bharat and I fell down. Doesn't mean now every deer that you see is a self-realized soul.
For non-devotees, somebody asked why Krishna wants us to learn from an elephant. But this was a question from somebody else. He asked me why Krishna wants you to learn from Gajendra, from an elephant.
Yeah, not that you should learn how to be an elephant in your next life. How to learn to be a devotee. Not that the essence of the pastime is, well, no harm if I become an elephant. No harm if I become attached to a deer, because even if I become a deer in my next life, I'll serve good. The point is the importance of service to Krishna. Not the value of elephant life or the value of deer life. Keep our eyes focused on the point. Okay, anything else? We have a little more here time for you. That's an enthusiastic yes, right? Okay.
Krishnaya, Krishna Krishnaya, Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Iti Namine.
Hare 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 Yeah.